Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. I was talking in the last broadcast about the prophecies of the end time that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the apostles in the book of Matthew chapter 24. And we went from verse 1 up to verse 18, where the Lord Jesus Christ first told them about the global events, earthquakes, nations against nations, and then he changed the focus and talked to the apostles about what will happen to them as disciples, as they will go about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He said they will be persecuted, killed, many will be forsaken by friends and parents, and denying and betraying one another. But he that endure to the end shall be saved. That is enduring the persecution, even unto death, to enter the kingdom of God. Then after he focused on them, then he went forward and said, now we're going to, he told them about what will happen to Jerusalem, which is now zeroing on the Jerusalem that he mentioned before, because that was how the prophecy started. When he told them that, oh, these stones you saw, there will be no stone left upon the other that shall not be thrown down. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 2, when they asked him, then when will this thing take place? Now he started talking about how Jerusalem will be surrounded by soldiers, and because of the abomination of desolation, which Daniel prophesied about. And I explained that Daniel prophesied that there will be another desolation of Jerusalem, because when Daniel was writing his own writing, Jerusalem was destroyed 70 years before that, and then they were being told to go back. And the Jews were going back to rebuild Jerusalem during the days of Daniel. He was praying that God would help them do that. And Cyrus decreed, the ruler of the Persian Empire, Cyrus then decreed that the Jews should go back home and rebuild their city. And Daniel saw that taking place in his time. But he also prophesied that there will be some hundreds of years later, 600 something years later, that the Messiah will come and the Messiah will be cut off. But there will be another desolation of Jerusalem, because there will be an abomination that was set up. And that was termed abomination of desolation. And I explained that according to history, if we look back at history, we are able to understand that after Christ resurrected and was gone, which he prophesied that abomination of desolation that Daniel spoke about would take place. The Roman Empire was ruling the region on that time. The emperor that was new then started to exalt himself so much, and he put his image or his statues wherever they are worshiping any god, because they proclaimed that Caesar himself is a god. Well, when they tried to put that statue or their plaque in the temple in Jerusalem, the Jews revolted against it. And that was why Daniel called it abomination of desolation, because it will start a war. And the war made them to be desolated. That is, the Romans came with soldiers because they rebelled against the Roman Empire. And the soldiers surrounded the city. And they resisted the Romans until they were all taken away captive and the city was destroyed in 70 AD. It was fulfilling the prophecy that Jesus Christ gave, that they crucified the Messiah, this will happen to them. Now, that was what Christ was referring to in the book of Matthew chapter 24, beginning from verse 15. Then he went all the way from that one up to the verse 21 and verse 20. Now in verse 20, he said, pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now that was talking about the fact that when the Romans were surrounding the place, when war starts, what is the best time for the people that want to escape? Because he was telling the disciples that when you see all these things, run. Don't think the Jews are going to win this battle, because it was a vengeance from God for killing the Messiah. God was going to avenge it. And God is going to send them away captive from the land, just like he did during the days of Jeremiah. They were worshipping idols, and God said they are going to have to be sent away from the land. The land spooled them out. But God used the Gentile nation to do that. The same way, and after Christ, he used another Gentile nation, the Roman Empire, to do that. They were driven away, but it was now not just for 70 years like the days of Jeremiah. It was for thousands of years, as our Daniel prophesied it also, that there will be desolation for 1,203 score days. And when we look at that, people assume that that's talking about 3.5 years of the end time, but it could also be talking about 1,000 days, a day for a year, because it took that long before the Jews were even able to go back to the land. Thousands of years. See, that is one of the reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ said this, that's why the Daniel put in itself is going to be a long time. Desolation will be a long time. Now we know that that was now history, because they are back in the land, and after 1948 they became a nation. Now let me go further in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and continue what the Lord Jesus Christ was telling us in this chapter about these prophecies of the end time. When he said, pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, because that will be a terrible time. If they are trying to run away, winter time will not be a good time for them to run into the jungles. They can be frozen to death because of the cold weather. So he was saying that, pray that it won't be that time when this war is taking place that you are trying to run. And not Sabbath day. What about Sabbath day? Because on the Sabbath day, the gates were not open. There was no way they could even escape during the Sabbath day, and then they will also have the conscience that when in Sabbath day you don't go this far. So it's almost like two-edged sword. If it happened on the Sabbath day, they are not allowed to travel that far, and their conscience will be beating them that why should I run this far away from the house where I am living, and so they won't want to run. Whereas God is Christ is saying you better run because they are going to destroy all of you guys. Say, don't pray that it's not Sabbath day, because the conscience alone will make people not to be able to do what is prophesying to them to do. And also not winter, because when you run during winter, you can't run to a cold place where you're going to be frozen to death. So he's saying, pray that it won't be another time. God can answer prayer by just making the soldiers change their mind not to come at so time. And that is what really happened. According to history, it happened just like Christ prophesied. According to history, we read that when the Roman Empire soldiers surrounded the city of Jerusalem and the Jews in those days were resisting them, the Christians that were believers in Christ around that time, by this time maybe some of the apostles were all dead, killed, martyred, but those who are believers who are still left in Jerusalem, they saw this rioting, revolting, starting, taking place. They were not part of it, but they said they were caught in the city. And the soldiers came and surrounded the city. According to them, they remembered this prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they started praying to escape. And according to the history, God moved for them, and the army of the Roman Empire suddenly withdrew. For some reason, something told them to move back, and so they withdrew, almost like where the fight is not going to take place. And when they withdrew, the disciples heard that they have withdrawn, they could get out of the city. Some of them that are wise, they knew that what God prophesied would take place and not that the Jews are winning. So they were able to get out of the city and escape for their life while this Roman Empire withdrew the soldiers. After many of the Christians have escaped for their life, those who believe this, because I can tell you there will always be some people that we think they were Christians, they would think they were the believer, but they were supporting the Jewish rebel. And even in this generation, that if something like this is happening, many people claim to be believers, but they are still supporting their government, the nation of the world, thinking this enemy is the enemy of the nation. But know that your kingdom is not of this world. If you don't have that kind of mindset, you are going to be trapped when things like this happen. And I'm pointing this one out because in America right now, many so-called evangelical believers are so much lining up with some party that thinks we are nationalistic. We must defend our country. It's good to defend your country, but I'm telling you, if the prophecy is against your country and God is telling you to run, you better run. Because many of them will lose their life just because of that, because they did not take heed to the prophecy. And that was, I know that when that happened in the days of the Jews, some of them that claim to be believer, to be disciple, may think, well, the Jews are winning and they didn't run. But those who believe that this prophecy that the Lord Jesus has gave will take place, there will be a desolation. Daniel prophesied it, Jesus Christ seconded it, it will take place. They didn't stay in Jerusalem thinking the Jews are winning because the Roman soldiers withdrew themselves. They just ran for their life and escaped from the city according to the prophecy that Jesus Christ had already given to them almost 40 years before that time, because they were children of prophecy. And I want you to be a child of prophecy, a prophecy scholar. That's why I'm pointing this one out to you also. If you're not a prophecy scholar and you don't care, then you just perish with the world. You may go to heaven, but perishing with the world is not what God wants for you. Because like Abraham was praying for Sodom, he said, far be it for God to destroy the righteous with the wicked. But if the righteous refuse to listen, they will just die with the wicked and go to heaven. So that is why, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Take heed, is what Christ said. Take heed that no man deceive you. Because there will be a form of deception, and at the same time, just like it will be at the end time, because we have been sounding warnings right now about all these things that is taking place in the world. Even the things that look like terrorism that is taking place is, not just maybe, is finger of God judging the nations of the world, warning the nations of the world to repent. You may say, well, are you saying that God is on the side of the terrorists? God used the heathen nations to judge his people. And God can still use those terrorists to warn his people, to warn the so-called Christian nations, because they have degraded from being Christian nations, and they are now not even good to be called Christian nations, because they have legalized abortion, killing of unborn children. The many nations, they have legalized homosexualism, which God called sodomy, and they think this is a liberty or freedom to do whatever they like, and they think this is a new generation. I don't know what they call it, but to them it's a civilization, but it's not civilization, it's degradation. When people come to the top of the mountain and they keep going, they are going down the other side of the mountain. That is what is taking place in this Western civilization. They come to the top of the mountain, and if they keep going, they are going down the other side of the mountain. Down, down, down in immorality and in ungodliness. And God is sounding them warning by these terrorists that are doing this, they are doing that, and the terrorists are trying to blow up things if they could get their hand on terrible weapons that even the Western nations has provided for them. They might blow up big cities. But still warning that turn around and turn back to God, you Western nations that claim to follow the Lord's Christianity. But now they are no more saying they are Christian nations anymore, because they are not following the Christian philosophy. Because if you are going to follow the Christian philosophy, you know homosexuality is sin, and you will not be legalizing it. You know that abortion, killing of unborn children, is sin, and you will not be legalizing it in your Supreme Court. That is what God is warning about. And the world is going down, down the drain, all over the world, not just one nation. They are following the leading nation. Many of the nations of the world are following the leading nations, and you need to repent. Now we go further in Matthew chapter 24, where the Lord Jesus Christ went further. In verse 21. Now, when you look at verse 20 and verse 21, you may say, is this talking about the Jerusalem that was destroyed then, or is it talking about the end time that will take place before the second coming of Christ? Now, this is where you begin to see the fact that when the apostles recorded this prophecy, you have to remember, in their generation, they did not have a tape recorder to record everything that Jesus Christ said. Neither were they writing it down when he was saying it. They were remembering it many years later. And because of that, you can see that Matthew recorded this, may misplace some Bible verses. Which one did he say first? Which one did he say later? Can easily be misplaced, so that it will no more be chronologically as he said it. So verse 21 started talking about a great tribulation, which actually we believe is for the end time. Whereas verse 20 could have been talking about only when they were fleeing from Jerusalem 70 AD. But nonetheless, it is still talking about prophecies. Terrible things will be happening then and even in the future, not only for Jerusalem, for the world. Now, so when I jump to verse 21, you will see it's now saying, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Now, that's why I said, it was that talking about the tribulation of the Jews in 70 AD, which was tribulation, all right, because they were all scattered worldwide. Before they were scattered, there was terrible thing going on in the city where there was no food, because they camped against them for who knows months until they run out of food. And the recording said many of them were now eating one another, attacking one another, and robbing one another, burglarizing one another, because there was no food left in the city. That was the method of war in that generation. They would just camp around the city that has walls and block all the gates, and they couldn't go out of the city until the food is wasted and no more food left in the city. And that was what we are talking about. So it happened then, but he was now talking about a great tribulation, which we believe is for the end time. So I said, whether this shouldn't have followed that Bible verse directly. Verse 21 perhaps was talking of something else, and verse 20 is just to make you to see everything is just like a prophecy could be dual fold also. That is, could have a meaning then and a meaning in the future. Verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So now you can see verse 21 and 22 is talking about the end time. Like I said, the Holy Ghost is making us to understand that only the Holy Ghost knows what he was referring to when he recorded these things. And because the apostles were trying to remember it 5 years, 10 years, 17 years, 20 years after it was spoken, they were not putting them down chronologically like Christ said it, verse by verse. So these last two verses I just read could have been for the could have been later than where it was put. But let me go further, because now he's talking about the end of time, when he said there will be great tribulation except the days were shortened, which we know is coming at the end time, end of the world. Verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, say, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, this last few verses I'm just reading is talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of the Son of Man, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said before that second coming, there will be so many false Christs and false prophets that try to say, he is here already. We have seen that over the years. Even in our generation, there have been several cases of people proclaiming that they are Christ in different countries. And they draw a crowd after them until that person who claims to be Christ is dead or killed, and then they say, well, if he was Christ, he would have been dead and buried. And many other false prophets, like the Islamic, came after Christ, said this 600 years later. Islam came and preached something that draw a lot of crowd, and right now it's still drawing crowds of false religion. But that was also prophesied by Christ, that there will be false prophets. They will even show signs and wonders till the end of time. That has been taking place. And he said he will be saying at the end of the world, at the end of the world, like our own generation, there will be people claiming that, oh, Christ has already come, is right here in a place in the desert, or right here in a little chamber there, come and see him. They will be also deceivers. Because he said when the second coming is to take place, it will be like lightning coming from the east out of the west. Because during that time, it's going to take that's the time of the rapture, where it's going to take the Christians out of here before the end of the world is, before the destruction of the world, before the world war. It will be like a flash of lightning and the Christians will disappear. That is what he was requiring to that. His second coming will be like a lightning coming out of the east and shining even unto the west. Now, verse 29 began to talk of something else. He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, which tribulation will the Lord be talking about in this verse 27? He said, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. Now, we can look at that and say, that has to be at the end of the world. So, the tribulation he was referring to in verse 21 and 22, we have to follow in line with that verse 29, the tribulation of those days. Not the time when the Jews were taken away from Jerusalem in 70 AD. Because he said, after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, this also has been prophesied before by the book in the book of Zechariah chapter 12. You see the story where they said the people on the earth will mourn when they shall see the sign of the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming from the sky. And when Zechariah reported it, he was reporting it as the Jews will be mourning for him. You can say, why will the Jews of that generation that saw him coming from the sky? Because over the years, the Jews that were scattered worldwide, they have been told by their parents and grandparents and descendants, and the descendants have been told that Jesus Christ, whom the Gentiles say is the Messiah, was not their Messiah. That he was just a rabbi that was arrested because he was claiming to be something, and many of them believed that. That's why the Jewish nation didn't claim to follow the Messiah. Except there are some Messianic Jews that believe, just like there are Jews that believe and propagated during the time of Christ. Now, I said all those things to make you to see that when Christ shall now appear in the sky at the end of time, those who are alive during that time that are Jews, that used not to believe that the Jesus that the Gentiles have been worshipping, they didn't believe that was their Messiah. The only way they will see him coming from the sky, they expect their Messiah to come from the sky. So the reason why they will be mourning is because they will see the sign that it was the same Jesus that was crucified. That's the Lord has appeared to me and many people in our generation and still carry that a mark on his hands, a sign that is where the nail pierced hands was, and a mark on his feet where the nails penetrated. And when he appeared to me, he still was wearing that type of image. And the Jews that didn't believe that was their Messiah, when they shall see that scars on his hands coming from the sky, yet he has that scar, you show them the scar, and they will say, this is the same Jesus that these Gentiles have been saying is the Messiah. And he is the one that's coming to save them. They will weep because they have been following lies over the centuries, propagated by some rabbis that didn't believe. That's why they were mourning and crying for him. You see that in the book Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 12. See, they shall mourn as if they are mourning for their newborn, for their firstborn. Because he will show them the sign of him being crucified on the cross. And they will know that the Gentiles that have been preaching that Jesus is the Messiah, they were right. And that they have been wrong following those rabbis who didn't believe. And that's why the Bible said they will mourn for him. In the book of Revelation, even Apostle John said, even those that pierce him will see him coming from the sky. And all the hearts shall mourn. In the book of Revelation chapter 1. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. See, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now I'll stop right here. The generation that Christ was talking about could be two dual fold meaning. That's why I say when you look at these Bible verses, and because the apostles that were reporting it, they were reporting it many years after it had been said, does not really mean that this Bible verse, this generation shall not pass, does not really follow the verses that were before him. He could have been talking of the generation that will be destroyed during the days of 70 AD. He could have been referring to that generation that they would not pass away before this city was destroyed, which is where I lean to. And some people have tried to interpret to mean he was talking of the generation that came back to see a new Israel formed in 1948. That is the generation that will not pass away. But if you look back right now, many of those are already passing away. Those who are Golda Meir, those who were rulers of the Israel, the new Israel, from 1948, many of them are passing away and dead and dying, and the Lord has not come yet. So people that are trying to preach this Bible verse many years ago in the 1950s and 1960s, thinking that this is the generation that will not pass away, the people that go back to Israel, that they will not pass away before everything is taking place at the end of world come, they are now regretting that that may not be it. Because this Bible verse, like I said, could definitely be following the generation of Christ's time, that they will not pass before the city was destroyed. See, but like I said, Holy Ghost only interpreted it to us as he is the only one that knows what he was referring to. Because when they were recording this, it was many years later, they couldn't put which verse comes before which verse. Now he went further in verse 34. That's where I just read, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So everything Christ prophesied, whether they were before during the 70 AD, or they are still yet to happen, they are all going to fulfill themselves. Whether human beings like it or not, these things will take place. Whether we believe it or not, these things will take place. Now, verse 38 is where perhaps I will stop this sermon and then come back some other time to finish the rest. Say, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, this is not talking about the end time. The day that everybody is saying the Lord is coming by, the second coming of the Lord, nobody knows when that will be. But the Father has this in his hand. Because the apostles wanted to know. But he knew it's going to be past 2,000 years from their time. So he didn't tell them anything. He said that it's not for them to know. But in verse 37, he went further and said, as the days of Noah, why, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And now we can look back at the days of Noah and see there is a parallel of what is happening now. He said, in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And that's where I'm going to stop. I will continue this in the next sermon. Now, this is bringing us to the end time events that is taking place in our before our eyes. The Lord is coming soon. Things are happening, and God is going to come back and take the saints away before the end, before there is world war. But you that is listening to me, are you a believer? If you are, begin to look up. Trim your lamps. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to quicken you, and begin to fast and pray often, so that you can be accounted worthy to escape all the terrible things that shall come upon the world, and to stand before the Son of Man. And if you are not a believer, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, so that you can have a hope of living again. Because he will resurrect those that are Christians that have died. He said, I will raise them up at the last day. And God will give them this planet again to live forever and ever. The righteous shall inherit this earth. That is the plan of God. Say it after me if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, so that you can have a hope of eternal life. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Give me a new life. Let me be born again today. Let me sin no more. Wash me with your blood and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I accept you as my Lord and Savior today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, I commit them to your hand now, that you will guide them to read the Word of God more and to follow thee. In Jesus' name. Write to us and we shall send some more exhortation. Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. and on the internet is gospeldistribution.org. Gospeldistribution.org. God bless you.